What do you tell your patients who receive 7+3 in terms of what to expect from the future?
Again, it's highly dependent. Let's say they're a younger patient, defined here as, let's say, less than 60 or 65. I tell them this: your disease is potentially curable. It will very likely require an allogeneic stem cell transplant, except in certain categories, small categories like your inversion 16, your A21, and maybe FLT3 wild type and NPM1 mutant. We're going to give you 3 and 7. It's going to be a tough road. We're going to do a marrow in 2 weeks to see if we need to give you another course of the similar drugs, 2 and 5 usually. And then we're going to do a marrow when your counts recover. God willing, you won't have a terrible complication. You'll have a marrow. We'll see how deep your remission is. We'll look at how you did with the induction chemo. We'll look at the original cytogenetics and genetics. We'll look and see what kind of donor situation you have, although nowadays everybody has a donor if you include haplos. And we'll decide if we're going to get consolidated with chemotherapy or an allogeneic transplant. At the beginning, I try not to fill their mind with too much information because it's overwhelming. I mean, just think of it. They go for one day thinking they have a cold or the flu. The next day, they're told they have a fatal cancer for which they're going to get chemotherapy that could kill them. So it's a lot to tolerate. But I think the most important discussion is that first discussion when you see them in the clinic. They're done with the hospital. They're feeling better. Their blood counts hopefully are normal. Their marrow was done, let's say, a few days ago. You tell them it looks good. Then you have a discussion about what to do next.
For interested patients or knowledgeable patients, you might have a patient who's a medical oncologist, I would imagine. What would be the range of numbers you would give in terms of short-term risk of dying as a complication of treatment and longer-term range of the chance of being cured?
Yeah, well, that's a question, obviously, that patients and their families ask on day one. You know, is this going to kill me? And, you know, an AML is sort of an all-in-one phenomenon. Either not completely, but more or less it's going to kill you or we're going to cure you. There's not much in between, and we'll know that within a couple of years. But basically, I tell them for 3 and 7, if they're under age 60, they don't have major comorbidities, I'll tell them it's about a 5% chance of in-hospital treatment-related mortality, which is nothing to sneeze at. If they're over age 60 and I'm giving them 3 and 7, I would double that. The treatment-related mortality for AZA-VEN is under 5% probably in the first 30 days. The real risk, and I tell them this, is their leukemia. The therapy is tough, but the biggest risk by far is that leukemia will eventually kill them. So I emphasize that so they know why they're putting up with this stuff. And then if they want to know, well, what's the likelihood of cure? Taking all comers together at the start, you can tell them there's about a 40% chance of being cured if they're under age 60, and about a 20% chance if they're between 60 and 75. And those are the true numbers. We've all seen those curves about the heterogeneity of AML. And in version 16, they have about an 80% chance to be cured. If they have an inversion 3 or a TP53 mutation, they have about a 5% chance to be cured. So obviously, we're doctors. We try to give people hope. We try to put them through therapy that has a reasonable chance of working. And we explain, you know, if it's going to be what I call a long run for a short gain, you're going to really make sure the patient wants to go through that.